Are you expecting? Are you expecting? Do you believe that God is still the miracle worker? Do you believe that Jesus is our miracle worker? Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Y'all may be seated tonight. This came to my attention as well in Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. They said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son, not his mother called Mary, and are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And do not all his sisters live here among us? Where then did this man get all of this? Talking about Jesus. And they took offense at him. They were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority, causing to stumble. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58, and he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. So are you believing tonight? We're not going to get familiar with flesh, with man. It's God in us. It's God through us. As Pastor Rodney gets up, it's the anointed one and his anointing in us. We're not looking at man, but we're looking at Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on him, just like what we were just saying. Praise God. So welcome this evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to all of you watching online. If it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church. How many of you have been on our website? How many of you have, read Pastor Rodney's daily devotional? Have you all read it? Praise God. It is posted on Facebook every day, and it's also on the website every day. And then you go under ministries and it will pop up his daily devotional. It's such a powerful read and prayer and confession to start our day with, or whenever you can get that in throughout the day. So I encourage you to look at that. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10, so come early. We have coffee, cappuccino over there, and we just invite you to come early and fellowship with one another. Wednesdays, we have started our discipleship course. It's called Jesus the Miracle Worker. Praise God. And we are on week 2 tonight. It's a 12-week course, and it's just going to continue building our faith for the miracles to reach out and be able to grab them. We are not going to be like those of little faith. We are not going to be like those who are familiar and we're just going about. There's miracles always coming towards us. They might be small, they can be big, but it's what God has for us in our daily life in and through us. Praise God. He wants to get miracles through you. He worked with Moses to part the Red Sea, right? Moses had to work with God. We're working with God. Hallelujah. So praise God. This Friday, we're going to start having our Friday prayer here at the church from 9 to 10. We've been having it at our house, but starting this Friday, it's from 9 to 10 here at the church, and we're praying over the church and the community. So we invite you to come out. And it's a teaching on prayer. So if you want to learn more about prayer, how to work with God and pray, how to pray the word of God, it's a powerful time of prayer. It's an anointed time of prayer, and we're seeing results from that. And so we invite you to come. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team, and also someone to volunteer over the coffee table and all of that, just to oversee that as well, if that's something you like to do with hospitality. And invite someone to church. Be intentional. Bring them with you. I was at Walmart this week. I got to talk to two lovely ladies, invited them to church, and, you know, their shifts kind of happened during church, but they were so blessed to get the invitation and really excited about it. And so just even that, you know, can change the course of somebody's day just to talk about them? Do you need prayer for anything? Or, you know, I have the cards, the church cards are right over there. I carry it around and, you know, I ask them if they already go to church, because if they do, you know, I'm not going to invite them to our church, but it's a blessing to be able to talk to people in the community. And so I just encourage you, grab some of those cards. And just when you're at Walmart, the Safeway, the coffee shop, wherever there is to go around here, we're in a small rural area here. So just around town or with your friends or neighbors, you know, people need Jesus and they are needing a miracle in their lives. You know, most everyone we know has something going on either in their body, with their family, with the relationship. They need peace in their mind, you know, those kinds of things. And so that's why we're here. We're here to be a blessing. And Victory Life Family Church, we're a family here. Amen. Everyone needs a family. Everyone needs a family. There's someone out there who's single. They're wanting a friend. They're wanting a family. I mean, just think, God's going to put us in people's paths this week. That's a miracle. That's a miracle in their life to go across someone's path who has been wanting, you know, some kind of connection, but they might not even know what it is. And then here we show up and invite them to church. And so God has something just for them. So praise God for the offering this evening. I want to read a little scripture passage in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 25. Mark 11, 22 through 25. Praise God. It says, "And Jesus replying to them, said, have faith in God constantly." Do we give up? No. Have faith in God sometimes when it doesn't look good. Have faith in God constantly. Praise God. When it's good, when something doesn't look right, we're going to have faith in Him. He said, "Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him." So there's a key factor here. Again, believing God, right? We're believing God. We're keeping our faith on the word. We're believing what it says. We're believing what he can do. We're believing he's the God of the impossible, because he's the God who's going to make it work all together for our good because we love him. Verse 24, "For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that it is granted to you and you will get it." Verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop." And I might add that includes ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. If we miss it, we get right back on track, but we forgive ourselves. We forgive one another. The Lord has forgiven us. Amen. And so if there's any kind of debt, if there's any kind of lack, sickness, disease, whatever it may be, we tell you to get out in the name of Jesus, and we declare the blessing of the Lord over our life, over our church family. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, according to Proverbs 10:22, that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. It makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. We thank you, Father, for the blessing at work in the lives of the people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So tonight, if you're giving, I do want to give an update on the building project. We're believing for $5,000 to come in by the end of May. And with this project, this is for a sign, another sign for our building. We're believing for better lighting in the room, a keyboard for our praise and worship team, also upgrades for our church office and nursery. We're believing for a property and a building of our own. Amen. With lots of room for growth, prayer rooms, connect groups, nursery and classrooms for children's ministry, young adults, and a fellowship hall. And so far, $954 has come in. Praise God for that. Amen. And that leaves $4,046 remaining. So believe with us, believe for it, release your faith. And God is going to do what only he can do in our lives, in the church, in your own faith projects, in the name of Jesus. And so if you're giving tonight, there's an offering envelope on the seat back in front of you. If you're giving by cash or credit card, please write your name on the envelope and your address, and then sign if you're given by credit card. If it's for the building fund, just write building fund on there. If you're online, the information's on your screen, and there's general fund and then a drop down for building fund as well. Also, if you're writing a check, I don't think I said that, please write it to VLFC. And if, yeah, praise God. Amen. So you may receive the offering tonight.
Praise the Lord. This is the house of miracles. Glory to God. And I am so thrilled, so excited tonight to come and just have some fellowship with you. Fellowship with the Word, fellowship with the Lord. And here on Wednesday nights, we've started this new format on a discipleship course series that we have titled Jesus, the Miracle Worker. How many knows that Jesus is the miracle worker? The Word tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. So if He was the God of miracles, He is the God of miracles. And what we call miracles, He just calls ordinary, everyday life in the kingdom. God is just used to speaking things and light be and light is. He's used to framing the universe, the Word says, through words, and it just simply becomes. We call that miracles. He just calls that kingdom life. But Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, this isn't just a prayer, "Oh God, have your way, have your will today." Yes, that's good, but you have a part to play. Jesus didn't simply pray that prayer and things just manifested in that day. No, He had to cooperate and participate, partnering with God. As a son of God, He had to partner with God. At the first Adam in the Garden of Eden had to partner with God. God would form the animals from the dust of the ground, and then He would bring it over to Adam. Whatever Adam called it, gave it its identity, it became that thing. God and Son working together to again, what we would call miracles. You know, when you can take a lump of clay and fashion it into something and speak a word to it, and all of a sudden it comes alive and it has this definite identity. Amen. That's a miracle. That was just everyday life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, again, we're looking through over these next 11 weeks now, we're highlighting some of the miracles. On Sundays, we are unpacking it and teaching it in sermon format, going through more and more of those miracles and to see them in a little bit different light. But tonight, we're going to be discussing it. We're going to workshop it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to get right into this. But let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, oh, we thank You. We're thanking You, Father God, that tonight, we're stepping into our miracle. We're stepping, Father God, in to see more and more and more about how to partner with You, how to flow with You, even as the first Adam did, as Jesus the second Adam did, as all of these apostles, and not just the apostles, Lord, but just everyday saints. Stephen. Yes, Lord, we thank You. We see over here in the book of Acts, Stephen was not an apostle. He was just a lay minister. And yet many signs and wonders and miracles were wrought through him. So, Father God, we just receive, Lord, that we, like Stephen, are here tonight. And by faith, we're coming to learn, coming to hear, coming to receive. But, Lord, we're coming to do. We're coming to participate. And, Lord, Holy Spirit, we're asking You right now. You said in John 16:13, "How be it when He, the Spirit of truth, has come?" Oh, and He has. It says that He will lead us. He will guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we receive You are guiding us into truth. You are guiding us into this kingdom life. You are guiding us into a flow of the miraculous. And Father, we thank You for this tonight. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, welcome back. Amen. Hallelujah. We're ready for more, are we not? Yes. Yeah, so here tonight, we're going to be looking at Jesus, our healer. Jesus, our healer. And we're going to be looking in particular over in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 of healing of the paralytic man. Hallelujah. So again, this miracle is going to reveal to us that Jesus, He not only heals our body, but He heals the whole person. He's not just interested in the healing of your body. He wants your spirit, soul, body, socially, financially. If you need provision such as they did in Cana, he's got a miracle for you. Whatever you need, he's here to supply it. He's here to fill it. And what we love, we're going to see more about this tonight in this particular case, but Jesus, he deals with the root of the situation in the man's life, not just the symptom of being paralyzed. We're going to see here that he's going to restore identity, dignity, and destiny. And again, I want to remind us here tonight that this is not a Bible study necessarily. This is not a Bible class. This is not a lecture, but this is to be an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is training for our everyday life. And this is where our faith becomes practice. We're going to put legs to our faith. The Bible says the just shall live. Live by faith. This is your everyday life. We're going to live by faith. He says again, walk by faith. We're going to put legs. We're going to walk. We're going to live our faith tonight. And so we're going to see more and more about this as we go. Praise God. So we're going to open right now with this in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again, everybody has their notes in the room online. If you'll go to our website, it's there on the screen, /sermons, vlfc.church/sermons. You can go and download. We have a participant sheet that you can print off. You can follow along with. And I would encourage you, if you're there with your family, a spouse, a loved one, work this together. So again, we're going to have to go off air for part of this, but you can take and continue to work it yourself. Amen. Or better yet, just come to church. Amen. Praise God. But Mark chapter 2, verse 1, a few days later, Jesus went back to Capernaum. Now, I want to make a quick note here. At this point in Jesus' life and ministry, Nazareth, he was brought up in Nazareth, but he's not living in Nazareth. He's a grown man now. He's left the house, and now he has bought a house in Capernaum. And this is right down the street, you know, from the synagogue where Jairus is the leader. So Jesus is in his hometown. Jesus has been out on the road ministering, but a few days later it says Jesus went back to Capernaum, went back to the house. And when the people heard that he was home, they gathered in such large numbers. There's three gospel accounts of this, but it says that they came from Jerusalem. They came from all around to come to hear Jesus teach and preach and to minister. All right. It says they gathered in such large numbers. There was no more room, not even outside the door, as Jesus spoke the word to them. So Jesus, you know, he was a wealthy man. He has a treasurer. He has 12 people on full-time staff ministry with him, the 12. And he's providing not just for himself, he's providing for all of them. But he bought a house, you know it, specifically to hold a meeting in. This is not just some little bitty one or two bedroom house. No, this was a sizable house, again, right down the street from the synagogue. This is prime real estate. This is prime real estate, y'all. Again, if you got a house right next to the synagogue, that's where people wanted to be. This is right in the heart of town. He's overlooking the Sea of Galilee. This would have been a beautiful piece of property. And it's a large place where, again, you can have a meeting in this home, because that was the whole purpose besides just having a place to sleep. Okay. There's such large numbers, there was no more room, not even outside the door, as Jesus spoke the word to them. Then a paralytic was brought to him, carried by four men. Since they were unable to get to Jesus through the crowd, they are packed in here like sardines, right? They're packed in so tight they could not make their way into the entrance. Everyone is shoulder to shoulder. You cannot press your way through. This is how packed this place was. All right. Since they were unable to get to Jesus through the crowd, they tore off the roof above him, made an opening, and lowered the paralytic on his mat. When Jesus saw their faith, Jesus saw their faith. I love that. Jesus saw faith. Faith isn't just what you say. Jesus hadn't heard them say two words yet, has he? He's only seen them in action, but he says, I saw their faith. Hold on to that. He said to her, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and thinking in their own hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming." Now notice something very key here. And again, this is more proof that they're actually in Jesus' house. Scribes. These are the scribes. These are the doctors of the law, in other words. Any other place, any other setting, out on the street, in the synagogue, anywhere else, they're thinking blasphemy. If they were anywhere else, they would have shouted blasphemy. They did it other times in other places. They did not shout it here. They sat quietly thinking it. Why? Out of respect. If I'm in another man's house, regardless of what the situation is, if I have been invited to his house, I will not be disrespectful in this man's house. That's just culture. You know, and so this is further proof. Again, they're thinking blasphemy, but they won't say it in his house. Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Exclamation point. They're very strong about this. Who can forgive sins but God alone? At once, Jesus knew in his spirit that they were thinking this within themselves. "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" he asked. "Which is easier to say to a paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Pick up your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately the man got up, picked up his mat, and walked out in front of them all. As a result, they were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Surely not. So I want to ask you, again, we're going to have just talk about this for a second. What in this passage, there's a lot of things, but I want to just hear two or three responses from you guys. What stood out to you? What stood out the most to you about this? Yes?
I'll just say.
You're okay.
Immediately the man got up.
Immediately the man got up. Okay. What else? What else stood out to you the most?
Jesus saw their faith.
Jesus saw their faith. One more. One more. What stood out to you the most?
God's praying and love for me.
God's love for you. Yes. Okay. Praise God. Well, thank you. That's all correct, class. You've done well. Y'all get an A. Praise God. So every miracle that we're going to see, including tonight, is always going to, number one, reveal his heart, his power, and his ways. First off, Jesus heals the whole person, which is the heart of God. Again, this is straight from the heart of the Father, because Jesus says more than once, "I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do." Father cared about that man. Not just with his body, but obviously something with his soul, something in his spirit. "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Hallelujah. Before Jesus, and I want to note this out, before Jesus heals the body, he first heals his identity. Now, we don't know the man's story. We don't know what his background was. Was he born paralyzed? Not sure. Did he have an accident and became paralyzed? Was he in sin, you know, doing something, you know, crazy and ended up getting paralyzed as, don't know. But obviously we know that the man has had a sinful life of some kind, because Jesus deals with this first and foremost. You don't see this in every account, but it is a snapshot, if you will, as to how Jesus also ministered healing, probably in many, many, many other cases. He's dealing with the sin in their life and restoring their identity. Restoring their identity. He says, "Son," that's a key word, "Son, your sins are forgiven. When he calls him son, what is he doing? He's restoring his dignity, he's restoring his belonging, and he's restoring his identity. So again, this man may have guilt, shame, condemnation going on in his life, which is an effect of sin. If you are conscious of your sin, you know it. If you are conscious of your sin, you invariably you're going to be dealing with guilt, shame, and condemnation. And if I'm in guilt, shame, and condemnation, I cannot have confidence towards God to receive anything. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus deals with this. Jesus deals with this. And also noted here that he prioritizes the spiritual need over the physical need. He prioritizes this first and foremost. I have a reference here, James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. It says, "And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick." The prayer of faith. It says, "The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Why is this? Again, he says the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. That's a guarantee. This is what will happen. If you'll pray in faith, the Lord will raise you up. It's a finished work. So again, the prayer of faith is not, "Oh God, would you please?" The prayer of faith is literally making a faith demand on what God has already accomplished in Christ. It is a faith demand on the finished works of the cross. By his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I'm here today to reconcile my healing. Lord Jesus, I'm here in faith in agreement with my faith buddy, with my faith partner, and or alone, however, you know, but I'm coming here today and I see in your word what you have accomplished for me, and yet I see this symptom in my body. I'm here today in the prayer of faith to reconcile the two. And so in the name of Jesus, I command this symptom to be removed from my body. And right now I just receive, Lord, by your stripes, I'm healed. That is the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of faith. But he says here also, if I've committed sin, confess it. Confess it. Get it out of my life. Repent of this thing. He says, and be healed from it. Amen. And be healed from it. Now I'm dealing with my soul and my body. Hallelujah. I'm dealing with the whole man. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us healed and whole, spirit, soul, body, in every way. Praise God. So again, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Glory to God. So again, Jesus doesn't fix what's just broken in our bodies. He wants to restore the whole man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number two, again, Jesus, we see here, does not pray for healing. He commands healing. He commands it. He tells us, he gives this man this, I don't know how old he is. He says, "Get up, pick up your mat, and go home." He told him three things to do. Number one, get up. Number two, pick up your mat that you were brought in on. And number three, go home. This shows us, number one, that healing is part of his nature. Healing is part of his kingdom. Healing is part of his authority. And healing is part of his mission. Jesus is the healer. Furthermore, he is my healer. Let's all say that Christ is my healer. Amen. Glory to God. And because we are in him right now in Christ, healing is part of our salvation package. Healing is just part of the package. The same cross that saved you is the same cross that heals you. He bore stripes on his back. He said, "By those stripes, you're healed." He's on the same cross. He shed his blood for your sins. Yes. And he shed his blood for your healing. Hallelujah. Jesus, we notice here his way. Jesus always responds to faith. Jesus has to respond to faith. It's what moves him. The scripture says, when Jesus saw their faith, He says when he saw their faith, and that's that. There's a special note here. He didn't just see the one man paralytic's faith. He saw the friend's faith. All five of them had to have faith. When you think about it, again, were these friends, relatives? Not sure. Doesn't really matter. But these are pretty good tight friends, right? That they've carried him. They're determined, no matter what it takes, we're going to get to Jesus tonight, because we know if we can just get to Jesus, we know Jesus is going to heal this young man tonight. And I'm not willing to let him lie here and suffer another day, not when the healer's in the house. So they took whatever it took. They said, we've got to climb up, get the ladder, whatever it is, get the rope. We're going to, that, you know, when you think about it, You've got a man who's paralyzed on a mat, and you've got to get him on top of a roof. That was no small feat. I don't care who you are. Just thinking about it, just in the natural, that's not a small thing. And yet they get up there and then they tear up Jesus' house, you know, to get this man, and they lower him by rope to get him down in front of Jesus. They didn't all just jump through. They just lowered him down and gets into Jesus. And I don't believe Jesus was really too upset about it. I believe he was smiling the whole time. the word says Jesus saw their faith. And I know that just blessed him to no end, you know, to see that before him. Amen. So again, looking at this, you and I have a part to play in this as well, because this reveals to us that sometimes you and I carry somebody else's miracle.
Praise God. Amen.
You and I carry somebody else's miracle. This man, his faith was, if I can just get to Jesus. That's where his faith was. Now, we'll look at other miracles. You don't need to come to the house if you'll just send the word. He didn't have faith for that. His faith was, if I can get to Jesus. Last week, we looked at the woman with the issue of blood. If I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch, I'll be healed. She did, and she was. Amen. But again, he had to get to Jesus. All four of them had the same faith. If we can get him to Jesus, he's going to get healed. So again, sometimes you carry somebody else's miracle.
Yeah.
Why come to church? Why is it important that we come to church? Why is it in? I want to share this and just remind us, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Well, back up to 24. And let us consider how to spur one another to love and to good works. 25, let us not forsake the assembling. Praise God. Pages stuck together. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but let us exhort. Let us exhort. Let us encourage. Let us be there for one another, especially as you see the day. That day is capitalized. That is referring to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is referring to the rapture, when we're going to join the Lord in the air. Oh, and how many know we are in the last of the last days. I'm 46 years old. I'm not going by way of the grave. I'm not going by way of the grave. Most of us, I don't believe, are going by way of the grave, if any. We don't have that long. We do not have that long. There are so many things in the prophetic, in the scriptures, that are pointing to these things. We do not have another 30, 40, 50 years. I'd be surprised if we've got 10. I'm here to tell you. So again, he says, especially as you see the day approaching. There is a corporate faith. There is a corporate anointing that we will only experience as we are gathered together corporately. And I'm so thankful that we're all here tonight, because you don't know your presence, your faith. You might be carrying somebody else's miracle here tonight. What you're learning here tonight may prepare you for next week, next month, perhaps next year, to be able to carry somebody else's miracle. But you are carrying somebody else's miracle, not just your own. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just take a moment. Lord, thank you. I believe it's right. Acts chapter 4. I believe it's right. Acts chapter 4. All right. Thank you, Jesus. There is a corporate anointing that is so vital in these last days, as the scripture said. I know years ago I just started coming to church because that's just what I wanted to do. I don't, you know, every time the doors are open, there I am, you know. But hallelujah. There's so much more to it. There's so much more to this. Acts chapter 4, the disciples, they had been threatened by the Sanhedrin. They went back to church. They went back to the church. It says here, Acts chapter 4, 27, indeed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles. Back up. Nope. 21, when they had further threatened them, the Sanhedrin, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all glorified God for what was done. For the man of whom this miracle of healing was performed was over 40 years old. This is the Peter and John at the beautiful gate. Verse 23, on being released, they went to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had said. When they heard this, who's they? The church, they lifted up their voices in unity to God and prayed. They prayed this beautiful prayer. At the end, towards the end of here, it says, look on your servants that we may speak your word with great boldness by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be performed in the name of your holy son, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The scripture goes on to say, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. Great grace. The scripture goes out here, and it's, I don't see this written anywhere else in the New Testament. It says that grace is upon us, and by his grace, and by his grace. Here it says, great grace. Great grace. Hallelujah. Great, overflowing grace was upon everybody in the church. Hallelujah. Corporate faith, corporate anointing. But again, what were they praying for? They're praying for more boldness. They're praying for healings. They're praying for signs and wonders and miracles to be done. And God answers that prayer in the next chapter, just a day or two later, Acts 5:12, many signs and wonders were performed among the people by the hands of the apostles. It goes on to say that even they were lining people up on mats going down the street, that even as Peter would walk by, people were, if we can just get in the shadow of Peter, which I don't believe that literally meant his physical shadow. I mean, if we can just get in the presence of Peter, if he'll just walk by us, the presence of God is going to be there to manifest and heal us. They had faith for it, and they did. How did all that come to pass? The church prayed.
Amen.
The church gathered together. There was a corporate anointing that would not have existed had the church not come together and prayed and believed God. You and I carry somebody else's miracle. That church carried the manifestation of Acts 5:12.
Yeah.
That church carried the manifestation of Acts 5:12. Yeah. You and I carry the manifestation of what needs to happen in Ogallala and these surrounding areas.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Great.
What I'm telling you tonight is you can have faith not just for yourself, but we can come together and have a corporate faith to see God move in our, not just in this church within these four walls, but everywhere you go.
Amen.
We see Stephen, we came out of this as well. Stephen came out of this as well. He is not an apostle. He's just a lay minister. He's just an everyday churchgoer. But he is sold out and on fire for Jesus. They say, hey, boy, we want you to go out here and start ministering to these widows and giving them their daily food rations and things like that. But when he went, he wasn't just ministering bread and water. He's ministering the Holy Spirit. He's ministering, and it said signs and wonders were wrought through his hands. Not that he's doing it, but God was working through him. Why? Great grace was upon them all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you go through the Acts, this isn't just the apostles. This was everyday people full of the Holy Ghost ministering healing to people. Hallelujah. Thank Walmart. Thank Safeway. Thank Arby's. Thank wherever you are. This is your world. They're just going about their daily life. Hallelujah. But they are expecting. They are expecting. Glory to God. The man at the beautiful gate, they're just walking on their way to church. And here's a man sitting there paralyzed. Such as I have, give I to you in the name of Jesus. I've got the name. Hallelujah. Oh, this is wonderful. Glory, glory, glory. Sometimes we carry somebody else's miracles. Sometimes your faith lifts someone up who cannot lift themselves. I have been in miracle meetings. Yep. I was an usher for Billy Burke, a healing evangelist. We can have faith for miracles, but there is a special anointing on the healing evangelist.
And I
have ushered in a number of his meetings, and I'm up there. He's right here, and I'm working with him, and I'm seeing people come up here one way, and they're getting, you know, he lays hands on them, or he'll speak a word over them and different things. And a lot of times they're falling out in the floor, you know, and then I'm there picking them up. And I saw them how they were coming up. Some people I actually knew from the church. I knew their situations. And they're here one moment, the next they're healed.
Come on now.
Just this quick. Now, a lot of this had to do, number one, yes, he's a healing evangelist, but there is a corporate faith that was in that room every time. There was such an expectancy for miracles in that place.
Right.
Again, you might have 1,500, 2,000 people in that room. You know, and there is such a corporate faith, a corporate anointing.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you, there was also a lot of corporate prayer.
That's right.
That went forth before he ever got there.
Yeah. Right.
Just like you saw over in Acts chapter 4, they were praying. The church was praying.
Yeah.
Before we had the meeting, before we went out, there was prayer. Why do we have pre-service prayer on Sundays? Why do we have Friday prayer? This is why. This is why. Prayer is what opens the door.
Amen.
Prayer is what makes the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, Jesus honors persistent faith. Their faith brought the paralytic man to Jesus. The faith of the paralytic himself was needed, however, to put him over. Hallelujah. All of them had to have faith. Jesus tells him his sins are forgiven, which he can only be received by faith with no natural proof. Jesus says, son, your sins be forgiven. He had to receive that by faith alone. There's no tangible proof that you can ever have your sins are forgiven.
Right.
Other than I believe it and I receive it by faith. He obviously did, because now he acts on what Jesus tells him next. Get up. Pick up your mat and go home. The man got up, he picked up his mat, and he went home. Jesus gave him a faith command. Jesus revealed to him the word and the heart of the Father, and he was obedient to do it. He was obedient to do it. There was other ones, and we'll perhaps look at these. Well, Jesus, I've been paralyzed. I can't walk. I can't walk. He didn't say any of that. He just was prompt. Quick to do it. You said, get up. I'm just getting up. He had a part to play. He had faith. He brought faith to the table as well. But amen. But all of them had to have faith in order for this man to receive it. He would have never got to the meeting had these boys not brought him and been persistent to get it to him. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he told him, y'all come back tomorrow and fix my roof. Praise God. Amen. So I do want to do this here online. We have a discussion that we're going to have in the room, and then we're going to have Ministry Lab. Ministry Lab is going to consist of, we're going to be partnered up with each other. We're going to be praying for one another. Amen. If you have a need, we're going to come together in prayer. Praise God. But I want to encourage you, if you have a prayer need, you can contact us. Amen. But better yet, if you're in the air, come to church. We will minister in person to you. Praise God. But in the meantime, we're going to be back here on Sunday. Pre-service prayer is at 9:20. Friday prayer is at 10 o'clock. Service on Sunday starts at 10. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.